much fun on a radio show.
Fun within prescribed limits.
Live from the Nashville Sports Radio Studios.
The government and parents everywhere, they tried to ban it.
This is the George Plaster Show.
He's a fine man.
He's a great broadcaster.
Brought to you by Bart Durham Injury Law. Call George now at 615-844-5600 and online at WNSR.com.
He's a very powerful guy.
And now, here's the man, the myth, the legend, George Plaster.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome in on a hot Friday afternoon in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm not going to waste any time. Watson Brown is alongside, so is Jack Gentry. As all of you know, a lot is going on in the world of college football, and when we left the air yesterday, we sort of made a decision to sort of reschedule what we were going to do based on a lot of what's going on, and with that in mind, we're very fortunate to right off the bat start the show with North Carolina head football coach Mack Brown, who happens to know Watson Brown just a tad. They are brothers, for those of you who don't know that. Mack, how are you?
George, Watson, I'm doing great. I think it's a different and difficult time for all of us. It's really crazy. Probably more unanswered questions daily, weekly, monthly in our lives than ever before. And you have to really feel for those that have lost their jobs and are in such a financial pinch that they can't eat and can't feed their children. I just can't imagine that. Obviously, we've had hundreds of thousands of people lose their lives across this world, and you can't imagine that. And more getting sick daily. So because of that, we've got so many unanswered questions in our lives. And then we've also had the racial injustice and unrest. That has also been very, very difficult because we need change, and we need change in that area. So I don't know in my years that I've ever seen a time with as many things going on that we need to fix.
Mack, I'm going to do a smart thing here and basically turn it over to your brother. If he gets out of hand, if you remember an old boxing referee, Arthur McCandy, that's who I'll be. If he takes any cheap shots, I'll step in and separate.
Well, Watson and I talk about three times a week, so I doubt if he's going to hit me with anything we haven't discussed.
Watson, the floor is yours.
Your brother is getting old, big boy. He don't remember the second of the week, much less the third of the week.
I got that, too, because my brother's not that much older than I am.
Well, he is. Those extra couple of years, big boy, will make a big difference. You'll see. Mack, I want to start kind of personal. I've said on the air many times that this would be really hard for me, and kind of glad I'm out when all this went down. And just the thought of possibly having a kid get in real trouble or lose one from this. How tough has it been, and how have you handled it? Because I know you. We grew up with a granddad that was a coach forever, and I never heard anybody ever say anything bad about him that played for him. And he always had the kids that thought, how hard's this been trying to put together a football team, but really worrying about the life of these kids and what we're starting to put them through?
I think, Watson, the when it first started, you were thinking about football. You're missing spring practice. You're not going to have a chance to look at young guys. You're not going to have a chance to get your depth together. And your incoming freshmen, you don't have any idea who they are. And then we thought we'd be back in early June. And now we're sitting here, we're in the middle of July with still a lot of questions. And I really think that the focus has changed in so many coaches' eyes, probably I know mine, that the only thing that's important right now is the player safety, and that everything we do is to make sure they're safe. Now, you look at numbers across this country for all of us, and there are a lot of infections. So Number one, you try your best to make sure that you take the risk out as much as you possibly can so there aren't infections. And then you're going to have some. In our families, we're going to have some. And you try your best to make sure that those that get infected are really, really safe. And then the next thing you do is you go through the medical protocol, because your doctors and trainers are handling a lot more than you are right now with your players. And you keep constant contact with a player in quarantine. You keep constant contact with his parents just to make sure everybody's okay. And also, Watson, what we have told every player, every coach, and every staff member on nearly a daily basis is, if you don't want to come back right now, if you don't want to be involved in football as a staff member, a coach, or a player, you don't have to. Stay at home. And if you don't want to play this year, if we play, you'll still get to keep your scholarship. And don't feel bad about it. That's okay. Everybody has different stress levels. And the same for a staff member. If you're not going to be able to do this, you don't want to do this for whatever reason, you still get to keep your job. We'll talk to you in January, hopefully when some vaccines or something are found that will help us move forward. But it's not about football right now. It's about making sure that all of your players are safe, and that they feel good about it while they're going to school. And that's why I don't think the coaches are spending a lot of time with the chatter yesterday from the Big Ten. Are we going to have a season or not? Or are we going to have non-conference games or conference game? The most important thing right now for coaches is that you take care of your players and your staff.
Well, and there's more and more. I've said on the air, Mac, that college football teams, that I was had 32 of them myself, and there was always this bunker mentality with a college team, which is different, I think, than the pro levels. And it's family. You're protecting each other. You're absolutely doing whatever you can for the team, and so it makes it tougher for that kid. I'm not going to come back because he feels like he's letting his players down. I'm glad to hear you say you're doing everything you can to make them understand that. I saw where Donovan Smith, the starting tackle for the Bucks, now going to be protecting Tom Brady today, said, "I don't feel comfortable coming back. I don't feel comfortable playing right now. Now, that doesn't mean he's not going to. They may work through some things, but he's got a kid within a couple of months coming. He says, I'm big. Everything I read, it's more dangerous for the bigger bodies." So I know you deal with that every day. And also, when the Big Ten pulled what they did yesterday, were you surprised with that? Were you expecting it to be them first? You and I have talked during the week and said, here, if the Ivy League did this, look out. How did you feel, and did it catch you off guard?
It did. I think everybody has been talking about, will we have a normal start to the season, and will you play the non-conference games? And as far as we've been told, all of that's still on schedule. And then when that popped up yesterday, I think it really caught everybody off guard, because they're sitting here and in a position where everybody's saying, what does this change? Because anybody they play in the Big Ten, since they're not going to play out of conference games, it affects them too and their lives and their schools and their schedule. So I think to say that this is going to be a very unique and unusual year would be an understatement. People have always talked about three phases. Do you play the regular season? Do you start late September, early October, and only play conference games? And what does that mean? Because you'd have to reset your schedule. Or do you move it to spring? And I think in a coach's mentality, until I'm told we're not opening up with Central Florida on September 4th, I think, the first Friday in September, then we as coaches and players have to think that's what we're going to do. And then if they move it back to September, late September, October, and only play conference games and give us another schedule, then we'll just have to adjust to that. And if they move it to spring, there's new issues with that, but everybody will be working in that area. So I do think the high stress right now, other than everybody's safety, is the uncertainty. And we still haven't gotten medical guidelines to come out from the ACC office that says, here's what you're going to do before you can play a game. Here's what an opposing team's going to have to do, these guidelines, before you can play that on your schedule. And then when you start looking at what happened with the Big Ten, then what are in those contracts? Were there guarantees? Do they have to buy out the guarantees? Or with COVID, does that mean that you don't have to buy out the guarantees that were being paid for the game if the game's not being played? So there's so many things that are out there as question marks. I think that's made it very, very difficult on everybody. Presidents, chancellors have got a very difficult job right now because we have 120 coming back. They've got, at our place, 19,000. And how do you manage that? And then you've got athletic directors that are trying to figure out a budget when they lost their money from March Madness and with the football season in flux, even if we have games, how many people are going to get to come? What does that do to your TV contracts? There's a lot of stress on a lot of people. And I was thinking about it yesterday for us to sit and think about our problems. There's sick families. There's families that are losing people. There's people that can't eat. So we all want to play football, but it is not the most important thing right now in our country.
Watson, before you go any farther, let me reintroduce what we've got going on. North Carolina football coach Mack Brown is on the line with us. And for those of you who don't know it, Watson and Mack are brothers. And hopefully at some point they'll act like it, spar, and take a couple of cheap shots. But Watson, now back to you.
Mack, I think you're exactly right. And it surprised me yesterday what the Big Ten did. But if you think about it, in some ways it doesn't. Because I'm not sure there's going to be, they say, well, in the next 2 weeks we'll all have made decisions. I don't see a big change in the next 2 weeks. Across the country, the virus is just getting worse. And it's just not going to go backwards here just overnight. So I don't see that. I saw where the California junior colleges moved everything to spring this morning. I don't know if you saw that. And I just think that the way the world's headed, it's going to be hard. If you moved and you all moved to where you played conference games, do you think it would be easier, better to just take your schedule and move it around just a tad? Or do you think you ought to redo it and try to play closer teams to you where you could get in a bus and go the day of the game, come back and they're going to play you later and play home and homes? What if that happens, which route do you think your conference would go if you could even guess that?
Well, I can't, and I don't know because we haven't gotten to that point yet. I think what happens is if at some point they decide we're not going to play non-conference games, which has not been decided in this league, then I think you have to really look at what's best. And you've got a league in the ACC that's got Syracuse to Miami. So it's all up and down the East Coast. I would rather play games that I could bus to. I'd even rather play games that I could bus to on that day and play them and come back. But that's tougher for Miami. It's tougher for Syracuse and Boston College. And we're so spread out that some people, if we do that, are still going to have to get on a plane. I think it's 12 hours or something from Miami to Tallahassee. But we've got very difficult decisions ahead for presidents and for athletics directors and commissioners of league. And Watson, I've always felt like that we should have a chairman of the board of college football. We need everybody on the same page, and I think it's more evident now than ever before that conferences are all starting to make individual decisions that affect other people, other conferences. They affect Group of Five. They affect some FCS schools, and I wish we had somebody to keep us all on the same page. And right now we don't. So I think that makes this even more difficult because when the Big Ten makes an independent decision, it does affect everybody else. And, and obviously then the Ivy Leagues moving doesn't, I don't think that affects a group of five or power five as much as the Big Ten deciding they're not going to play outside of their conference. And then what does the Big Ten do? You've got to go back and look. Do you adjust to eight games now? Do you try to play a 10 or 12 game schedule within your league? And if you do you play people twice, home and home? Do you try to spread it out? So there's a lot of scrambling around right now to figure out what that new model would mean, I think, if we don't play the non-conference teams.
Well, and I'll say it. To me, when the NC2A kind of passed the buck early on this, and the reasoning was it's different in different places in the country. Well, it's not anymore, Mac. Everybody in the country has got this problem right now, everywhere. All 50 states have gone up since that was said. And I agree. I think there needs to be a uniformity somehow. I worry about when you get in the season, the protocol during the year. My thing, Mac, all along has been these kids are going to be isolated. I know you've talked to me about all the things you've done to protect your players. My gracious. They're better protected there than they were at home. But here come these students back, 10, 20,000 of them in very small acreage areas. And then you're going to start playing other teams. What's the protocol? How many guys, when two guys catch it, who else can't play the next week? To me, there's got to be some form of uniformity where there's a protocol where you know what you're dealing with. Right now, there's nothing.
Yeah, and I think we're going to have that. The ACC continually talks about having our medical committee, our doctors that are going to set a protocol for the ACC. And then if you can't follow those guidelines, you're not going to play. And if the team that you're scheduled to play can't follow those guidelines, then you're not going to play. So, and that still hasn't come out, but they're working on it. And I think it hadn't come out because of what you said. They're taking a long time because it's a very difficult thing to do. And the thing that I've heard the most is that you need to build a bubble around your program. And that's that everybody in your program is clean. You test them every week to make sure that they stay clean. And then you move forward. But for that to be the case, you've got to trust every player and every staff member that they're not going outside of that bubble at all. Because if you get it, the new strand seems to be spreading much faster than the old strand. And I've been told 3 to 10 times faster of the virus that came out last month or something. And I think we're seeing that across the country. But I think that's what everybody's waiting on. They're waiting on the medical people. I'm not a doctor. I can't answer these questions. When people ask me, how can you have an offensive and a defensive lineman playing in a game and the virus not spread, I can't do that. That's not my job. My job is to listen to doctors, and they're going to guide us, and they're going to lead us, and then we'll all figure out what that means at the proper time. We're looking at things like wearing shields again on your players. We're looking at extending the sidelines to maybe down to the 15-yard line where you can spread people out. We're talking about what happens when your players come off the boundary. You sit them all together. You can't do that anymore. We're talking about how you practice. You have to spread them out at practice, and you can't have them standing next to each other at practice for more than 15 minutes at a time. We're talking about coaches wearing masks. So there's so many things right now that everybody's looking at to try to see if you have a positive, how did you get it? Because they have medical people sit down and talk to everybody that has a positive. Where did you go? What did you see? Who have you had contact with? Trying to figure out where the positives come from. So that you can stop them and sure not have it spread any further.
Yeah. George, can I get one more?
You got one more, about a minute and a half.
Okay, real quick, Mac. finish with a positive for you. The recruiting class may be the best in North Carolina history at this point. How did all that take place for you during this? Has it made it easier to recruit through this virus? Has this been a tougher thing for you to be able to recruit a class like this? Talk just a little bit real quick because we got to go.
Yeah, I think it's both, Watson. We're lucky that we recruit mostly in-state, and then we'll go get a great player out of state. And our footprint is by and large from recruiting footprint is by and large from D.C. to Atlanta. So when a lot of these guys have already been on our campus four or five times, they came to our camp last year. So the problem with the pandemic is even for us are the guys out of state that haven't been here before, because they're not going to commit till they come and see your campus. And when do they get to come? So I really feel like this was a great year in the state of North Carolina. We filled the stands last year. We went to a bowl game. We've got a tremendous amount of momentum right now. They've upgraded the facilities in every way. We have the young quarterback, Sam Howell, from North Carolina that's hot. So right now we were the cool place to be going into the pandemic. And then when a great player from North Carolina committed, he would pull another one with him and another one with him, and we got a lot of momentum. Now we've got to hold on to them after people will try to get them to come and visit. And this is it's a great academic school. They see a chance and a window right now that we could be good moving forward. There's a lot of excitement. So for us, I don't think it hurt us. We've had a two or three players I thought we had a chance to get, and they just said, "Coach, I've already been to that school. I can't wait till September to come to yours, and they may not even let us visit, so I'm going to commit." So we lost two or three, but by and large, because we recruit in such a closeness to our program, it really hasn't hurt us.
Mac, cannot thank you enough with all of the things you've got swirling around you that you would take the time to come on. And I'm even appreciative of the fact that Watson kept it kind of above board today, which is a surprise.
Well, I think, George and Watson, the truth is there's a lot of hurting people out there.
Yeah.
And we all need to send our thoughts and prayers to all of them. And that we'll get on the other side of this. We'll get on the backside, and we'll come out learning a lot from this, because this can affect our children and our grandchildren for the rest of their lives. So we need to learn from this. We need to be more prepared for another virus, and we got to help our economy and people get back on track. We got to pick up our country, and I still I get amazed at the essential workers that are out there. I get amazed at our medical staff and first responders. I get amazed at healthcare workers. They're telling us to run and hide and get on the couch, and we've all got people trying to take care of us, and I just can't imagine going to work every day and all you do is you're around people with the virus that are sick and trying to pick yourself up. So thanks to all of them, thoughts and prayers to them, and let's keep working to do what we're supposed to do to get rid of this thing.
Amen.
Our lives are not going to be the same until we get rid of it. So let's, if we're supposed to wear a mask, if you're supposed to stay 6 feet apart, that's not normal. That's not who we are, but let's do it till we clean this thing up.
Amen. Mac, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Mac Brown, he's the head football coach of the North Carolina Tar Heels. He's Watson's brother. I wanted Watson basically to do the interview, and he did a great job with it. When we come back, one of the conferences that is getting hit the most or the worst by the Big Ten's decision yesterday is the MAC. Their commissioner, a good friend, Dr. John Steinbrecher, will join us when we come back. You're listening to WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Mark Durham Injury Law, 615-242-9000. airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less, guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-648-9175. 800-648-9175. 800-648-9175. That's 800-648-9175.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
How much money would you like to save just by doing something you're already doing? How about 40%? With Allstate, safe drivers can save 40% just by doing something they're already doing. Driving safe. That's right, 40% just by driving safe. Visit Allstate.com or call a local agent for a quote today and see just how much you can save when you drive safe with Allstate.
Not available in every state. Savings vary and based on DriveWise and other safe driving discounts. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on The Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and Kevin Harvick does it again. Grabs his fourth win of the season. Third career at Indianapolis. He goes back-to-back at that racetrack. Up next is Kentucky Speedway. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, race recaps, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here.
Hi, this is Kevin Harvick, and you're listening to The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
Like us at Facebook.com/TheFinalLap. We'd appreciate it every single weekday right here.
Call the George Plaster Show now at 844-5600.
.30 is the time. Let me say right off the bat, these two interviews where we've gone back to back, my thanks to Watson Brown for setting up the interview with Mac to start the show, and a huge thank you to Dr. John Steinbrecher, who is the commissioner of the MAC. The MAC is one of the conferences that ends up getting hurt the most by what went on yesterday with the Big Ten decision. And around 2:45, we will simply open the phones for the rest of the show to get your feedback, your thoughts, your opinions, whatever. Now, let's say hello to Dr. John Steinbrecher. John, I was thinking as we put you on hold, you could write one heck of a book on the last 4 months if you took notes.
Well, and good afternoon, and good afternoon to all your listeners.
Same here.
You're exactly right. It's another chapter in the book, and it's certainly been a dynamic time and an unprecedented time, and we continue to navigate it as best we can.
What's the hardest part of a commissioner's job right now?
Well, there's just incredible unknowns. It's you don't know if you can move forward. We're all connected as 10 conferences, but clearly we're not connected in such a way that we always move in unison. And so you see things like what happened yesterday with one conference kind of getting out in front of things that's going to have some effect. Certainly it's going to have an effect on us, could have effect on others. But you know what? That's too bad. That's the job, and we'll try to navigate it and do it to the best of our ability so that we can keep our student athletes safe, our fans safe, and hopefully one of these days soon get these young men and women back out on the field of competition.
Did you have any idea it was coming yesterday?
No, I wasn't aware it was the decision point was coming so quick. I had really thought it was a week or two off, but clearly they, for
whatever processes they went through, and I know they were very deliberate, they reached their conclusions and felt that they wanted to move forward. So away they went.
John, tell people who maybe are not as involved in athletics as those of us who do a show, you as a commissioner, people that are in the sports world, we all know that a Central Michigan, a Bowling Green, a Ball State, a Northern Illinois, boy, this hits each of them really hard because they had two guarantee games each against Big Ten teams. When all that money goes away, what ultimately goes away from those schools?
Well, the first thing is we don't know whether or not that money goes away or not. Just because you decide not to play the game doesn't mean there's not contractual obligations. And those are issues that are going to have to be worked out. The Big Ten institutions are great colleagues and peers of our member institutions in the same footprint. And I imagine we will all work hard to come to solutions that are manageable for all involved. But you're exactly right. Those are games we love from a competitive point of view. Sometimes we get them on our campus. More often than not, we're at the Big Ten institution or an SEC or ACC, whatever it may be. So you love those competitive opportunities and a chance to go out and maybe knock off some of those high-profile teams. And there's a financial component, no doubt about it. And we all build our budgets around it. But I would also say it's going to hurt whoever it is. It's going to hurt the Big Ten teams. They're losing home game opportunities. Now, this year, because we don't know for sure what we're going to be allowed to have, if anything, inside our stadiums. But in a normal year, you know, think of a Michigan that goes into a year and plans to play 7 to 8 home games, and they have, what, 105,000, 110,000 at those games? Think of the revenue hit that takes. Or from a conference perspective, if you lose a game and it's your game, you're losing a television opportunity. So that then devalues your TV contract, so it affects the revenue you're going to bring back from TV. So there's a lot of layers to it.
Dr. John Steinbrecher is the commissioner of the MAC, the Mid-American Conference, and as a lot of you know, they've been an incredibly creative conference, created, Tuesday and Wednesday night games in November that we see in prime time on the ESPN family of channels. Watson, I know you've got some stuff for him, so take it away.
John, I know I'd like to say how are you. You can lie and tell me you're doing fine.
As the man gets on the Hindenburg.
Yeah. You know what? It's all a matter of perspective right now. And,
that's right.
You know, it got my health, my family's health. I'm employed. I'm doing a lot better than a number of people.
Yes, you sure are. One of the toughest things, John, to me, for you, and it would have to be you through your presidents and ADs and everybody, coaches, you're sitting here, and really all this is going to go down in 2 weeks. And, John, I don't see a big change in the next 2 weeks in what's going on across our country. I don't see how there could be a big change. So you're sitting there, and you've either got to, well, how are we going to, are we going to still play a full schedule, and who else now can we play? Or you've got to go the other way and say, well, we're just going to play conference games and work through that. You've got the spectrum on both ends to think about here in a very short period of time.
Yeah, we're clearly coming up on about a 3-week window where we're going to have to make decisions if we think we can start games around the Labor Day window. Opening day of fall camp for football teams is really in that August 3-4-5 period. And so you'd need to have a decision, obviously, by then. And you're exactly right. You started laying out. Do you play a full season? Do you delay the season a couple weeks? Do you go to a limited number of games, whether it's 8, whether it's 10, whether it's, you know, pick your number, or do you shut it down and do you consider spring? And there's unknowns around all of those. So until we kind of work that process, we don't know. And you know, at the same time, you've got schools trying to decide if they can open or not. And part of what we're looking at is not only you're looking at what's going on with the COVID testing, what's going on with the number of people who are hospitalized. You're looking at mortality rates and stuff. But the other part of it is testing, which is we're going to need to have a robust testing and screening program around it. And we're pretty close to coming to agreement on what that is. The challenge is going to be, can you access that testing, and can you get results in a timely fashion to be able to have the robust testing program that's going to be necessary? And so all of those will come into play as we make some determinations.
Right, and my second thing, John, would be you're dead on. Testing can save a lot of this for sure, but at the same time, what's going to be the protocol? And it looks like it's not coming from the NC2A. It's going to come, basically sounds to me like, from conferences. Two guys test positive. Who all stays out the next week with those two guys? Is it the ones they played against last week? Are you the one that's going to set all of those type protocols and within the conference, or how's that going to work? Because I really worry, John, about I think everybody can take care of their kids when they get them in a vacuum here for a couple of weeks of practice. But when the students get back to campus, I think we're looking at a total different animal at that point. So what's your thought process with that? Because you're going to have all that in place if you start playing on normal time.
Well, you're dead on there, Watson. It's just you hit the nail on the head. We're going to come to an agreement on a protocol of what that means and the contact tracing that goes with that once there's a positive test. And does it knock out some of your kids? Does it knock out maybe some other kids? You'll have to work through all of those, right? I mean, I'm aware of a football team in the Big 12. As they brought their kids back, they had two kids test positive through contact tracing. They ended up putting another 30 into quarantine until they could work through all of it, retest and all of that stuff. Yep. And so let's say we are fortunate enough and are able to get the season underway. You could very well see starts and stops with teams because of maybe a handful of kids test positive and they've had interactions with, you know, a third of your squad. Well, you can't play a game doing that. And so we're also going to have conversations. We've not come to agreement on this. What is that threshold at which you say, no, you've got so many kids laid up that we don't need to be playing this game? Is that 20% of your scholarship kids? Is it 15%? Is it 30%? You're operationalizing this, which you'd expect from a coach. And you have a skeptical outlook on this right now. I'm paid to be optimistic, but I'm also a realist. And I mean, we're all checking off the hard decisions and the factors that are going to guide us moving forward.
Well, got a great leader. Good luck, John. Pull them through. Thank you. For sure. Jack?
Hey, John, we saw the Ivy League kind of be the first domino to fall in all of this, and they didn't even end up doing conference games in the fall. They decided to play in the spring. How serious are discussions in the MAC offices about spring football?
Yeah, well, actually what the Ivy League said is that they'll come back in January and make a determination of whether they want to move forward. Our membership has a strong interest in the spring right now. I think you're seeing varying degrees of interest across the rest of the membership, but I think it's going to be a sequential issue. And, you kind of take these things one at a time, but our folks are very interested in it. And that's knowing that we may not be in a better place then. We hope so, but we'll find out. And so, again, I think let's take this a step at a time. I hope people, I'm not trying to be flippant when I say it, it's a little bit like having a tee time at the golf course. Just because you see it cloudy or it raining somewhere, you don't call up and cancel yourself. You wait for them to cancel you, right? So you work it one step at a time. Can we get the season started at point X? If we can, there's a set of things that go with it. If it can't, then it goes to another set of decisions. Okay, are we pushing it back? Are we truncating the season? Have we gotten to a point where we say, nope, we can't get it done this fall, then maybe you're into the spring. And so my sense is you will hear more and more discussion about the spring in the days and weeks to come.
we saw, it's only been 24 hours since the Big Ten and the ACC made their decisions. Have you heard from any of the coaches inside the MAC on what they think about this?
No, but I had a meeting with our ADs, and, you know, it's a concern, but they understand. And now it's, let's work the problem. They're in touch with their Big Ten colleagues that they have contact with. And to put this in perspective, we have 11 non-conference games with Big Ten teams. We are their most common non-conference opponent. They are our most common non-conference opponent. And again, so we value those relationships, and now it's work the problem. They said they're not going to play those games. We have a business relationship. We have a contract. Okay, so what does that mean? And let's figure out a way that we can make this work for all parties, and that will be going on for the weeks to come.
And, John, scheduling in college football is always a thorn in just about every university's side. There's a school, Kent State, who has three huge non-conference games this season. I know you mentioned contractually obligated and everything else. What are the odds that Kent State's able to play Penn State, Alabama, and Kentucky like they had scheduled, maybe in next season or the season following?
My guess is it will take a few seasons because most everybody's generally scheduled out 2 to 5 years down the road, right? And so it's going to take a little while. And so that's why, again, I think there will likely be some financial things this year and maybe some other financial things down the road. But we'll see.
John, can't thank you enough for doing this, in particular when you got a whole heck of a lot more important things to do than be yapping with me. But just know I appreciate it, and I suspect we'll talk again soon.
Anytime. Always good to be with you.
John, thank you. John Steinbrecher is the commissioner of the MAC, and they've got their hands full. They really do. I feel bad for the non-Power Fives who are now trying to deal with this. So we have started the show with a bang, which is what we wanted to do. This issue, we now know where it looks like it's headed short-term based on what the Big Ten did yesterday. A lot of you have got opinions. I'm going to basically open up the show for the rest of the day for you all and see wherever it is you want to go. 844-5600 is the number. Certainly a bunch of you will have opinions on the college football front, but if there's something else you want to get to, feel free to do that as well. 844-5600 is the number. Go ahead and hit the phones. You're listening to WNSR.
Guys, waking up over and over to pee is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to pee at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking three prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced. Free. Just pay shipping and handling. No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free. Call 1-800-478-0480. Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now. Call 1-800-478-0480. Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer. Call 1-800-478-0480. 1-800-478-0480.
It is an uncertain time for us all, but kids in foster care have always known an uncertain future. Now, more than ever, we see what it means to truly connect with others in a way we didn't fully appreciate through the simple little things we do. It's those little things that also make a big difference to a kid in foster care, to help them become all they were meant to be. During a time when taking care of each other is by far most important, Youth Villages Foster Care asks that you consider opening your home to these young people who are without one. To keep us all safe and healthy during this time, Youth Villages is offering virtual presentations with information to address your thoughts and questions about fostering a child. Learn how you can become a foster parent at youthvillages.org/foster. Youth Villages, foster a little hope. Brought to you by Youth Villages in cooperation with this station and the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you and have found a way for as little as a dollar a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about a dollar a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-870-6217. 800-870-6217. 800-870-6217. That's 800-870-6217.
Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-444-4676 or look them up on the web at LynchTreeService.com.
This is the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show.
Vicki Yates is here, ladies and gentlemen.
As a fan of both of the men, this is the place to be. Do you want to know about sports? This is the place to be. Listen to John and Greg. This is it.
Wow. That was awesome.
I quit.
Yeah, no, I'm done. That's a mic drop.
That's a mic drop.
Greg Pogue and News Channel 5's John Burton. WNSR. Nashville Sports Radio.
The man, the myth, the legend, the Plaz. The George Plaster Show on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
Okay, if you have missed the 2 o'clock hour, you've missed a lot. With North Carolina football coach Mack Brown, who is Watson's brother, and MAC Commissioner Dr. John Steinbrecher talking about what is going on in the college football world. And right now it's a little bit on the bleak side. But anyway, we're basically going to open the phones for the rest of the show and get your feedback, your thoughts, your questions, wherever you want to go, we'll do it. Let's start with Luke in Nashville. Luke, welcome into WNSR.
George Watson, Luke White here. How are y'all doing today?
Luke, how are you?
How are you, my man?
I'm great, guys. Listen, I want to switch gears if I can. I talked to you guys back about a month or two ago about some things, and we've seen how things are going at a place that we all three dearly love. And I want to ask you, George, before this, I've obtained a email that Candace Lee sent to the staff. Is it okay if I read that? It would take about 2.5-3 minutes. It will shed a lot of light on what their stance is at this moment.
I got about 2 minutes. Do the best you can on it.
Okay. All right. I was asked by a fan earlier this week if I still felt excited about where we are headed into the face of unprecedented challenges. I'm going to read fast. My answer, without hesitation, was yes. That may sound odd because we are most certainly weary from the current climate. Two things can be true. I recognize that this week in particular has been difficult for many of us and our colleagues for several reasons as we restructure our communications. We did not eliminate or abolish our communications or video departments. The Athletic Communications has worked in conjunction with the university for several months now on various initiatives. The restructuring, an opportunity to more closely integrate our staff with theirs to ultimately increase our output and resources. As part of this restructuring process, some athletics positions in communications, graphics, and video have been eliminated. The movement of functions and centralizing to university with other areas of the university has not just been in athletics. To be clear, the decision to eliminate these positions was part of a comprehensive review and not a reflection of the individuals, even though they were fired. That was my comment. It is also not driven by the pandemic that we have been examining these areas for quite a bit. As part of this process, communication has been and will be creating positions to provide services to athletics. Ultimately, we will have, continue to have communications in-house in Magoogan. The structure will be similar to that of some of our other support areas that serve and are accountable to our department while formerly reporting to and being funded from outside of athletics. I understand that this change is hard, and I am truly empathetic to how it feels to endure such change. I also understand that this comes with disruption and discomfort. We chart our next steps. There are other things that will be harder, but they will definitely get better, and frankly, we cannot apologize for doing something that we believe is best for those we serve. My initial inclination was not to send a broad-based announcement for those truly impacted, but I also recognize it's important to communicate as much as we can.
Luke, if you can, let's stop there.
That's almost the end of it.
I get why people are so upset. I worked in an athletic department for 3 years, and one of the cool things that comes out of an athletic department is great young talent. You all have brought up several people. I would throw from Belmont Christian Sadler, who is a rising superstar in the photojournalism world. I'm most disappointed. The guy who has basically hatched this plan is a guy named Steve Ertle. Steve Ertle is the vice chancellor of communications over in Kirkland. And I'm so disappointed. His background, he joined the school in February of 2017. Before that, the VP of Strategic Communications for World Wildlife Fund. I'm very disappointed, Luke, at the timing of this, the insensitivity. It sucks. That's the bottom line to it. I wish I had more time, but that's about all the time I got.
All right. Well, listen, guys, there'll be more to come. I've got some things I'd love to say, and I'll talk to you guys on a later date. Y'all have a great day, guys.
Luke, thank you. It does. It's an issue that really bothers me. I know one or two of the people involved in this, and that's about it. I don't pretend to know all of them, but I know how hard they work, and I'll just say it again. It sucks, and they ought to be embarrassed, and hopefully the reaction they're getting is a big old raspberry because they deserve it. But that's the guy that put this plan together, Steve Ertle, Vice Chancellor Communications, Raspberry. We're back after this.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Mark Durham Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
Are you looking for the ideal destination for family fun? A place with the best bowling, games, food and drink, and entertainment? Strike and Spare Family Entertainment is the answer. And with 5 centers in Middle Tennessee, there is a location near you. All open 7 days a week, including holidays. Visit their locations in Donaldson Plaza, Hermitage, and the Tusculum area. And enjoy an enhanced experience in Hendersonville at Circus World, including laser tag, roller skating, bumper cars, Time Freak, a laser maze, a virtual reality roller coaster, and an indoor bungee trampoline. Strike and Spare is expanding their Murfreesboro operations to the old Sears building in the Stones River Mall, with most of the attractions Hendersonville offers. Like them on Facebook for updates on the new Strike and Spare Murfreesboro. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are also the perfect place for your next gathering, from birthday parties to family reunions. For more information, visit strikeandspare.com. Remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
You wanted to see me?
Yes, please, have a seat. So here's the thing. When this company brought you on, we took a chance on you. You didn't have that 4-year college degree we typically look for.
Right.
But we gave you a shot anyway. And since then, you've worked incredibly hard and given it your all.
Thanks.
You've been an important asset to the team, but I don't think you can be an intern here anymore. We want to hire you.
You're serious?
Absolutely.
Find your next great employee. Introduce yourself to the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
I won't let you down.
I know.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
How'd you like to eliminate your expensive cable bill forever or get new satellite internet where cable can't go? Well, now you can have affordable satellite internet service for a few dollars a day. All you need is a mini satellite installed, and you can have unlimited internet connections wirelessly in your home or office. And no cable boxes means unlimited connections and no clutter. You can surf the internet or stream any of your favorite television services with no cable. And the best part is, satellite internet service costs only a few dollars a day for your entire home. Yes, fast internet to surf or stream television for a few bucks a day. Call now for free details and learn how to drop your expensive cable bill.
800-942-1298. 800-942-1298. 800-942-1298. That's 800-942-1298.
He's live. He's local. He's George Plaster. The George Plaster Show on Nashville Sports.
Okay, when we start the 3 o'clock hour, the first thing I want are some of your phone calls. We've had a 24 hours in sports that, again, feels very gloom and doom. Watson and Jack and I will get into a little bit of our commentary. But we want your phone calls. We want your interaction, your questions, your comments at 844-5600. Hit the phones. You're listening to WNSR.